the general ideas that we are trying to get across for this year about making this the best year you ever had. Now, it's very important for that to be manifested is that you are focused on it, that you think about it, that you allow God to work on you about it. And so the way it starts, you know, to see the way you feel now about this being the best year you ever had. You have to go inside yourself and really see or feel if you really believe it. Because that's the basis for actually that to happen. You see, it's according to your faith. Now, there could be things that don't appear to be the best of the year that you ever had. But that doesn't matter. See, God can do all things. God can change all things. And so you have to start cooperating with God about that, making that happen. See, we are a big advantage with respect to everybody else. Non-believer, I mean. Because we have something we can base ourselves on to receive. The other one is just the question of them having a positive or attitude. But for us, there is a basis to have a positive attitude. And the basis for a positive attitude is God's promises. You see, we have a basis to believe that the things that we expect are going to come to pass. So we should be able to achieve much more than anybody in the world that is not a believer can achieve. And if you are in the situation you are now, and you want to see this to become true, the fact that this is the best year of your life, the first thing you have to do is to determine how you're going to determine that. What is the thing that is going to make this the best year of your life? Because otherwise, how can you say it happened? If your goal is that, and has to be that if you want to experience it, then you have to know what you really expect God to do for you to make it the best year of your life. And you have to be very specific. Because if you are not specific, you're not going to be able to say, you know, God doesn't have any room to work with. So my suggestion, as you start thinking about what is really going to be the key critical factor for you to say, yes, this was the best year of my life, you must start believe that what you are going to expect God to do, He will do for you. Otherwise, how are you going to know it? And before you jump to say, okay, this is the thing, you know, just take your time. And you have to start really allowing God to make this the focus of your attention for this year. So that your work, your faith is going to work in this particular area. All things are possible with God. Yes, everybody agrees with that. But all things are possible include that thing that you need, that you want to see coming to pass. And you have to exercise your faith in that particular area. Because it's according to your faith that God works. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and on the Lord in Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Do you really believe that you have everything that you need for life and godliness? That includes the things that you is going to make this the best year of your life. I suggest that every morning when you wake up, you take that scripture and you remind yourself that God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. You remind yourself, because you see, we get distracted. That's what the problem is. We get spread all over the place. We don't focus on the things that God wants to do. And so we try to get all our energy caught up into other things that are really immaterial. God wants you to focus on what He has to do for you. And start believing it. You start believing it. It's easy to say, I believe it. You want to see what you believe? See your life today. Because your life today is the result of what you believe. You want different results, you have to start believing differently. This is completely scripture. We focus on so many things that are completely immaterial, that they don't make any difference, that God couldn't care less about. It's just religious stuff that put on us by 2,000 years of religion. When instead God wants to bless us and wants to make us happy. And for this reason, He has given us His promises. Here is very clear. He has given us divine power granted to us and everything that pertains to life and godliness. You have to start believing that you got everything you need. Stop looking around and start looking inside, because there is where the Spirit of God is. God is inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Stop looking at the shortcomings or the weaknesses or the things that you don't have, because these are immaterial. I was talking about the paradoxes of between the physical world and the spiritual world. You know, you had to really understand how that works, and we're going to continue that. We are born without operating manual. We don't know how to work ourselves properly. And the real operating manual is the Bible, but it's not organized in such a way that it's a logical way. So, you know, you cannot find one thing and, you know, explain everything around the way, you know, logically we work. Is working, you know, the way the Bible is expressed in a spiritual way, is expressed to talk to our heart, not to our mind. So we create theology to try to figure out things with our mind, and we end up boxing God into things that is not going to work anymore. And instead of moving, instead of, you know, seeing God working and doing the miracles that He wants to do, you know, we end up working like crazy to try to get Him to do the things that He has already done. Jesus said, "It is finished." But we look at the physical thing and say, well, you know, I have these needs. If you stop looking at the physical things, and this is the thing you have to learn to do, and start looking at God, His ability, His power, His promises, then you find out one day that things have changed and you don't know even why and how. Because He has done it, not you. See, this is the way it works. All the time when you have a sense of need inside you, you are actually allowing the things of the world to affect you, and so you are working in the flesh. But when you are in the presence of God, when you are connected with God, you need nothing. And it's going to be manifested in your life and in your body as well. Are you still here? See, this is the way you overcome the conflict between the spirit world and the physical world. We are in the middle of these two worlds. And it's through us that God performs things in the physical. It's our faith that materializes things that are in the spiritual world to make it become real in the physical world. But we have to understand how we participate in that, how we allow, how we draw, how we take, how we receive things in the spirit to bring it into physical. We get so caught up in the things we see and the few things we feel and the thing that God doesn't have a chance to do things in the situation many times. Because we are not, it's like, you know, the conductor that brings things from one place to another is broken. The pipe that brings things from the spirit world to the physical world is blocked, and that pipe is us. This is what God wants to do. That's what Jesus did through Jesus. This is what did through the apostles. That's what this wants to do with us, because there is no difference. But when we allow fear, allow things that hinder us from being able to look at God and trust Him, then the channel got plugged. The power cannot flow through. We think so much about going to heaven or not going to heaven. The thing is, if we don't get things here, how do you think you're going to get them there? The reality of our condition is reflected on us now. We are in the kingdom now. If you are not in the kingdom now, how do you expect to be in the kingdom after? So God wants to shake us up. Wants to make us realize that there are things that need to change within us so that He can fulfill what He has done it already through us, and we have to just simply believe it. You see, it's by believing, it's not by doing things that God works. It's by believing that we are become righteous. That means become as we should be before God. Seeing that the divine power has granted us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I mean, we have to deal with this scripture and really start believing that scripture. And start reminding us about that scripture so that it becomes something that we don't, you know, we really truly trust and believe and really depend on for life and godliness. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. You see, it's through the true knowledge. I mean, and the true knowledge is epignosko. That actually means that that we really understand, we really experience God and Jesus our Lord. By this, we are granted His precious and magnificent promises, so that by then you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. I'm using the New American Standard Version. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was doing that, but it's actually better translated. The words are more accurate. So the idea is that through the promises, and by looking at the promises, and by standing on the promises, and by believing the promises, and not other things, we come to the place where we have the promises are real, true in us, and we don't just believe them, but we experience them. Often people like, you know, just to go there and something happened and we have done nothing. God expects us to do one thing. Not works, but believing. He expects us to believe not just in our mind, but in our heart. And this is the place where this sometimes is very difficult to get things from our mind down to our heart. And to do that, well, we have to deal with our flesh. With our senses, with our knowledge that we derive from the physical world around us, and substitute it with the knowledge that comes from the Word of God. We have to do that. That's the only thing that makes a difference. And there are things that we can do in the physical to help us. Like, for example, if you, as I said, every morning you get up and you focus and you read that scripture to yourself, and you say, yes, I believe it, but not just, I have to do it. No, you just believe it. You take a position. You choose to believe it. See, because believing is a choice that you have to make. It's not something that happens like that. Because you're always faced with two options. The dichotomy, the paradox, always there. You can look at this in the physical, or you can look at that in the spiritual. And you have given the choice before God giving you the choice between life and death. You choose life, and you get completely a different, so start to get inside of your heart and start getting rooted there. See, but if you are not focused on that, if you look at all the other things, if you watch TV and all this and the news and you all see all the problems happening in the world, what do you think your heart is getting? Oh, this is a mess. But if you look at God and what He can do and what He has done already and we are going to continue to do in your life, and you start focusing on that. You see, the focus where you spend your time, what you focus on, you give power. And you have to give power to the Word of God, give power to His presence. You know, you just, God is here right now. You can focus on the hairstyle of somebody next to you, or the dress of somebody else, or the color of the carpet, or you can focus on God. And guess the difference is going to be that when you do that, it's going to make all the difference in the world. God is going to keep ministering to your heart. And He's going to just fill you up with His strength, the power, the divine power given to us by our experience of His presence. That's the way you're going to get it. But you know, if you spend 5 minutes on that, and 24 hours minus 5 minutes on all the other things, how do you expect those 5 minutes to compensate for all the other junk that you are going to get inside? See, our focus is key. People get so dispersed, go so spread all over the place, and they think they're going to get anything. You have to have one. This is why, just get one goal. For God to show you that this is the best year of your life. And on that goal, you just... And don't be afraid. I mean, oh, maybe He doesn't give it to you. You already lost. See, you cannot play games. It has to be all the way. You have to be fully committed. Fully persuaded. You are not going to get fully persuaded if you are not fully committed. See, remember... The way Abraham did in many places in the Bible, especially in Romans chapter 4. That shows us God worked through him, spoke to him, and he took God's promises, and he believed God's promises against all the physical thing that he was seeing. He was getting old, he was getting decrepit, he couldn't do anything anymore, but he still believed God it was possible. And people thought probably that he was nuts because he was calling himself father of many nations. But he stood on that and was counted for him as righteousness. You know, they counted for his as righteousness. You the word righteousness, we all, sometimes we make it too religious. What does it mean that was counted for him for righteousness? Simply, he became the way God was counted for him to be the way God wanted him to be. That's what it means. You see, to be in right standing, to be the way God wanted him to be. God wanted him to believe him. And he believed. Instead of believing his age, instead of believing the circumstances, instead of believing his wife was getting old and never had a child, instead of believing any of the other things, he just stood on God's promises. According to the way God had taught him to do. How did he do that? He showed him how to meditate. He says, look at the sky. Look at the stars. These are your children. Each night there was a night without cloud, he would go out there and he would look at the sky. And he says, God told me that I have as many children as that. That's effective meditation. This is something that he went back on and on and on every night, every time that he could do it. He was just looking at the stars. God wanted to make sure that he could meditate even in the day when it was cloudy. So what did he do? He says, look at the sand and look at the grain on the sand, and these are going to be your children. So that he, you know, he had no options. All the time that he was looking at something, he was so his children, they were, you know, they could not be counted. You know, it has to be like that for you, for the things that you're asking God to do for you. You have to be able to look at things and just see the answer all the time in front of your eyes and think about nothing else, so that at the moment there is not a question of doubting anymore. But you have to have a promise that you hold on and you can stand on. I don't care what the issue is, as big, as small, or whatever. He can do this the best year of your life. But he expects your cooperation. He expects your focus. He expects your attention. He expects your choices. You choose to believe, to choose to do the things that are going to help you instead of distracting you from that. You know, if you read all the stuff that just kill off all your faith, you know, don't expect you get anything, because those things are going to detract instead of allowing you to move on. And there's lots of stuff like that. So you have to see after you have been exposed to something, what effect that it have, did it have on my heart? Is my heart being strengthened? Am I believing more for God's promises or what he promised me, or am I believing less? If you believe less, junk that stuff because it's not helping you. I don't care who said it. Or who wrote about. He's not raising up your level of your faith. And if he's not raising up the level of your faith, that's the only way you can please God. There is no other way to please God. So if he's stealing your faith, he's getting you farther away from God. I don't care how many times how many religious terminology he's using, and how many scriptures he's going to be using. Do you want this year to be the best year of your life? It can be, but it's up to you. Because God has already done it. Remember to learn to be in contact with your own heart. Is your heart, how does it feel? Do you feel that you have everything, or you feel in need? When you do feel in need, then you are lasting. After the things that you don't have. And that means you are not in the presence of God, you are in the presence of your problems. And if you are in the presence of your body and your problems, and you look at your problem, you give power to your problems and not to God. In his presence there is fullness of joy. When we are not joyful, we means that we are looking at the wrong thing. When we look at Jesus' resurrected power, and we know that Jesus' resurrected power is the power that is in us, and we can achieve the same thing that he achieved, is a completely different story. You don't feel anymore that you lack anything, because the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Who is your shepherd? Your problem? Or the Lord? Because they're going to take you into different places. Are you following what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Let me go to 1 John. Many people say, well, you know, if you're really after things, you are being materialistic. Sorry. When you do things spiritually, you cannot be materialistic. Now, if you read here, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. It's not that we are going to be, we are already. And that's the end of the story. But, and this is the point, you see the usual conflict there. And it has not appeared as yet as we will be. So there is something we are now already, but has not appeared yet. So there is this paradox between what we are and the way we look, or what we do, or even what we think sometimes. Okay? We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. You know the implication of this is? The reason why we are not like him is because we don't know Jesus. I don't care what kind of a religious background you have. If you will know him the way he is, not the way religion has been portraying him, you will be like him. That's what the scriptures say. So we have to be able to say, okay, maybe I have to change some of the way I think, even about him, if I want to get closer to him. We know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because he will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. You see, how do we clean ourselves up? Is not by trying to clean ourselves up, but trying to see him the way he is. Because we get motivated in the right way instead of trying to do it by works. You see, we are changed inside. That's what we have to understand. That's what we have to grasp with. So, you know, it doesn't matter. You see, there is this work that's taking place inside us. As we understand and perceive and experience God and Jesus the way we should, that changes us and cleans us up and motivates us. It drops the stuff off that we otherwise cannot, because that stuff drops off because our heart is changed. And it's not the result of trying to do anything, but is trying to be who we are, children of God. So, you know, first thing you have to start saying, you know, you have to start looking at yourself. I am a child of God. It's not appearing yet because there are some blockages, but I am a child of God. I don't care the limitation, the shortcomings, the stupid thing that I do, the wrong thinking or whatever, the bondages I still have. I'm still a child of God. But you know, when you start saying that, some of the other stuff is going to go away. That's what it's telling us. Because automatically you're going to be focused on him, not yourself. Okay. See, this is the solution, you know. That's the solution to cleanse ourselves up. It's not to try to clean ourselves up, it's to try to open up to the fact that who we are now. If you are a child of God, and you start seeing yourself as a child of God, and there is something that doesn't line up with being a child of God, you look at yourself and say, well, this is not a child of God. I don't want that. And it's not anybody that will tell you straighten up, because you see it yourself. See, it comes from inside, not from the outside. See, is the paradox that is manifested in us as the children, child of God, and it's the fact that we aren't quite there yet. It has to be resolved. This is a process. When you were born again, that's important to understand. You know, it's not a question of saying a sinner's prayer. I was born again without saying a sinner's prayer, but it was the equivalent to the sinner's prayer. I mean, then I understood, but my heart said the right thing. The very moment when I said, well, God, you know, I'm going to serve you. And that was it. I acknowledged that he was my God, and that from that moment on, I was going to serve him. You know, it's more than just a prayer. It's a position you take inside yourself and that you stand on. So when happened that, you know, before, I mean, you had the spirit before too, you know. Before you were born again, you had a spirit. The thing is, the spirit was dead. Doesn't mean that wasn't alive. It was separated from God. The moment when you open your spirit to God, your Spirit became alive in the life of God. And that life is what keeps you going on now. To change us, to empower us. And that's what makes a difference. When people are born again, they don't know very much. I mean, they don't know the Bible too much. They don't know anything. I didn't know much myself. I mean, the desire was to get the Bible right away. And I did. It wasn't because somebody told me, oh, you know, you had to go buy Bible. And you said, okay, I'm going to do it because you tell me. That wasn't how I got my Bible. I was born again, and the only natural thing to do is I had to meet with God. And I wanted to know God, open up to God, and that God worked for me. And so I bought myself a Bible. That was ages ago, but I still remember it. I still remember the very time when I went and I bought it. Because it was an important step that was taking place in my life spiritually. It was a response of what God was doing inside me. Now, at the moment when you're born again, then a journey starts, and the journey is really this transformation in which we start from the way we are. I mean, your spirit cannot change. You already have the life of God, all the life of God. Your spirit cannot get any better. What has to change is your soul. See, the salvation is the salvation of your soul, not your spirit. Your spirit has been saved already. What does it mean? Your will? Your understanding? Your emotions? All these things that are there, they need to be lining up with the new life. Up to now, they've been influenced by the senses and the world around you. And that is a big job to do. But it's not a job that you do, it's a job that the Holy Spirit does. You have to just be open and be focused and allow that transfer from your spirit to your heart, because the heart is the place. See, before the heart was closed, what changed when you were born again is your heart. Before was blocking the life of God in your spirit to come to you. Now the door is open and can flow from your heart to your soul. You remember the model I gave you last 2 weeks ago? You remember that? Your heart is what connects the spirit to your soul. There are things that need to take place for this transfer to happen. You see, your soul has to be willing. If you don't want to go along with it, God is not going to push stuff on you. If you have your own ideas and you go after your own ideas, this is why, you know, people get religious. You know, they go after their own idea. They're close to God to show them anything new. They're not going to get anywhere spiritually. They're going to be stuck because the Holy Spirit wants to do some work that is contrary to the doctrine that you already got. Well, in John 7:17, Jesus said, just go there a moment. Jesus was doing things. And people were criticizing him or saying, you know, what do we know that what you're saying is true? What you're saying is from God. And she said, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know the teaching or the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. We have to be willing to do what God says for us to experience and to know that it's coming from God. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Are you getting it? You see, it's as we do. See, if we don't apply the word, if you're not willing to do something with it, if you're not willing to do something with the word that we are exposed to, we are never going to know. It's always going to be maybe. But when we actually do it, and we do it from the heart, we know if something is right or something is wrong. Why? Because our heart witnessed to us. The Holy Spirit witnessed to us the truth. And it's the truth. When we know the truth, we know it not by learning and doing a Bible study. It's by living it. And when we know the truth, we shall be set free. So you're doing just Bible study doesn't work, doesn't do it. It's when we start applying the word to our life and we start living it, then we start experiencing it. You experience the power of God and God starts transforming us. You're still here. Okay. So what do? Will you start cooperating in the process of God for this transformation? Read the word. That's the very place you start. And at the beginning, you read the word. 2 Peter 1, every morning, just repeat it to yourself. Get the word to work inside you. Just get it focused on that. Focus on the truth that you need to get so that you are transformed in the way you think. You pray. You pray for revelation. You pray for God to open your mind. You pray for God to change the way you think, the way, you know, the things that are not working in your life, there is a reason. And then you start meditating on what God shows you. If it shows you, you know, look at the sky and you look at all the stars and these are your children, well, you start, oh, that's a nice metaphor. Well, that's more than a metaphor. This is God speaking to you and giving you a mean for you to see something, for you to break through. Something you had to keep focusing on. Something that you had to remove from the front, from your eyes. Don't look right to the left. Just keep looking at that. And keep looking at that. And if give you another word, keep looking at the other word. And keep focusing on that. And not be spread all over the place. Not be distracted by all the other things. Keep your focus on the things that God showing you that wants you to do. You can do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be doubting God, because doesn't matter how impossible it may appear. On the physical, what Abraham did was impossible. And we accept impossibilities, when instead God wants us to accept possibilities. All things are possible. Can you say that together? All things are possible. That includes the things that you are banging against the wall for. All things. Remind yourself, all things. Whenever you come to your mind, whenever, and this is important, whenever it comes to your mind, that's impossible. You said to stop right there. Doesn't matter where you are. It says, no, all things are possible. And you make that position and you make that decision right there and then. Don't let the other thought, ideas, or whatever it is, image, stick with you. You just reject it right away. As it takes root, it's difficult to take it out. You choke it by just squeezing it out from your thinking, by substituting it all the time with the right thought, the right idea, the word of God. What God says instead of what you think, what everybody says, what your doctor says, what the news says, doesn't make any difference what everybody else says. God is bigger than all of them put together. And he can do things beyond your imagination. That's what Ephesians says. Beyond what you can dream or think. I mean, you can think what God can do. But that doesn't matter. You see, don't try to think the way God is going to do it, because when you do that, you are in the way. Don't try ever to tell God how to do things, because then you become an hindrance to God manifesting what he promised you to do, that he would do through his promises. Just believe his promises and keep going. When he tells you to do something, do it in faith and just feel it and just do your part and let him do his part. It doesn't matter. It's the obedience in faith that produces the result. Praise the Lord. You know, we just had to learn to stop limiting God. That's what Israel did all the time. That's what it says in the Psalms. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because of their unbeliefs. We had to remove the limits from God's abilities by getting ourselves out of the way and start accepting what he says. Read the word, pray about it, just meditate on it, discover the truth sometime that you didn't see before, and apply it to your life. Just do something with it. It's just knowledge for knowledge's sake is more damaging than good. If you know something and you don't do it, you hurt yourself. If it's just knowledge for the knowledge's sake, then generally it's useless. We're going to see more of this. I read another scripture and I close for today. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made by all the things which are visible. And so, the idea is very simple. That when we work in faith, what we are going to see, we are going to understand and experience. Be able to discern how God does things. Because we are going to see it happening. And we learn to cooperate with God. We get fully persuaded. We become able not to look at the physical, but to look at the spiritual. And learn to appropriate what God has already done and is finished. If you want the formula, this is the formula, but this is not the formula, it's just experience. We have to learn to operate as a spiritual being, not as physical being. Because that's where we are going to experience God's power. And that's where we're going to have the victory. And that's where we are going to make this the best year of our life. So just be specific. Tell God, if I got this year, I know that this is the best year of my life. And fearlessly go after that. Think after that. Meditate after that. Allow that to become a reality in your heart and will be in your life as well. Without you really even knowing the way it's going to happen. You can. Everybody can. Not just some special people. See, people say, oh, this person is spiritual. No, no. We are all made this way. If we just understand. You see, we are born without the operating manual. And so we don't know how to do it. And because we don't know how to do it, we don't get the results. But if we learn to do it the right way, you know, if we go to the real operating manual and learn from there, which is the Bible, then it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Are we going to try to do that? Are you willing to focus? Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we can do all things because you said that all things we can do as a believer. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that we know that your Holy Spirit guides us in this process of change and transformation. It is not something that we can do in our own strength, but we, Lord, will open and allow you to change us by your word, by your truth, by your power, by your anointing, through your promises. And so we just thank you today and praise you and give you all the honor and glory to you. For we will see it coming to pass. And anybody that believes says amen. Amen. Amen.